try and make a few remarks from. You will find in the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy, the 27th verse, of the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Moses was led by God to speak these things which we have been reading. And although they were spoken to the children of Israel, there are many things I believe that God hath determined should be for your and my help through life's journey. When we come into difficulties and trials and afflictions and sorrows, which are the lot and inheritance of the children of God, while the world know nothing of them, or those that have a false religion know nothing of them, but those whom God hath appointed to walk a path which they themselves did not know or understand. He who had sent, he would lead them into paths they had not known, make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight, and rough places plain, and not forsake them. And so there is a people on earth, this remnant of which you have been seeing this morning, who he hath taught and led into those things that alone are made profitable by the Holy Ghost and are known to in the pathway that God leads his people in, which sometimes seems to be against them, seems to be as though it's going to be their final overthrow. And often in that path, they are wondering where the scene will end. And there will be in that pathway many questionings as to their state before God, and as to whether they did really come in by the door into the sheepfold. For they know so well that unless they came in by the door into the sheepfold, there cannot be any entering in through the gate of heaven. These are those thoughts that arise. If I know anything of the path, more or less, through life's journey, though we have professed and have some humble hope at times that we are partakers of that divine life which is hid in Christ, and there can be a being overcome by our enemies. So then there is this daily exercise I believe with every child of God. Some might say, well, why is it? If we have come in by the door and belong to the remnant, surely there is sufficient knowledge in that alone to give us to believe that it'll be well at last. Well, we mustn't get too fast in these things. There will be those things that will be tried. For God hath ordained that faith, though the smallest, shall surely be tried. And he will, I believe, from time to time, bring us into those paths that will enliven that faith and will enliven prayer in our hearts. For I believe I'm speaking to some with one soul who know that path. That when things are going smoothly and things seem to be somewhat more comfortable, prayer languishes. And we begin to get into a cold or a lukewarm condition, one being as bad as the other before God. Oh, what a mercy it is to be warmed a little through the leadings and teachings of God in the soul, so that prayer is brought forth not from the lip only, but from the inmost recesses of the heart, a lamentation as it were, before God, as to our condition. It was with dear Jeremiah how he lamented those things that he passed through, and yet God in his love and compassion was with him and leading him and teaching him, even in that trying path that he passed through. So, like him, his people in measure, walk a path where their religion will be tried. The mercy of God of religion is being tried. God will try it as with fire. For I believe that God had his furnace in Jerusalem, and he will try his people's religion, that they may know ultimately that it is a true religion, and also one day prove that it has been an inward work by the Spirit in the soul. Well, in this word here before us, Moses spoke them just before he was to depart this life. God had told him that he should not go into the promised land, but that he should see it. And so that you know how it was. In the next chapter we read how God buried him in that place where he died. But he spoke these blessings to the children of Israel before his departure. And when we consider the pathway that dear Moses had to walk as he was a leader all to the children of Israel, Surely he could rightly speak, the eternal God is thy refuge. What a mercy it is if you and I, as we come into his house this morning, bow down with sorrow, feeling as to our condition before God may be a vast eternity facing us, knowing that once the breath hath gone from us, there is a vast eternity to spend, no end to it. Then, as we have many fears arise in our hearts as to our condition before God, here is this blessed promise before us: the eternal God is thy refuge. Well, he is eternal, that is to say, everlasting, without beginning and without end. Can we begin to fathom the greatness of the eternal God? How that he had no beginning. I remember when I was a child how I thought upon this particular point, asking my mother on that occasion concerning it. Well, how could she answer it? But I thought, God, he must have had a beginning. But you see, was an eternal God without beginning and knows no end. So that when we consider that he is so great and beyond all our comprehension, and yet he hath condescended to men of low estate, hath in his eternal covenant appointed a people that shall know something of that truth, that he is eternal, that he is one that no man can comprehend or understand, and yet given them that faith to believe that he is what he is, eternal. And faith believes too that he, being the eternal God, was that one that created the earth and man upon it, and provided a refuge for him in that eternal covenant. What an unspeakable mercy it is if you and I have in our hearts to believe he is that eternal God. And then to know him to be our refuge. He is our refuge in every deep distress. I'm sure we shall never find any other refuge. We may try it. I've tried it. Our wicked hearts ever would be meddling, ever would endeavor to find a refuge somewhere on this earth, somewhere whereby we might receive some help. But my dear friends, you will find that all other refuges will fail. It is no use to run hither and thither with thy troubles. Some might say, well, isn't it right to speak of these things? Well, The poet says, where art the breath thus vainly spent, to heaven in supplication sent, thy word will often be, hear what the Lord hath done for me. Some might say, well, aren't you guilty? Well, I may be the most guilty of all. For often, my friends, we forget the throne of grace in our troubles. Often we apply this and apply that. Unless God bless the means, all will prove to be of no avail. So then is our refuge. In every distress, art thou in distress enough? As to your never dying any mortal soul, more important than all bodily things, more important than all material things. I say, are you in distress concerning your never dying any mortal soul? Well, you're among the blessed. There's not many distressed in the day we live concerning their never dying any mortal souls. I don't say that judgmentally, but by observation. But there are some who are in distress. How will it be with me in the swelling of Jordan? How shall I stand before the great and mighty judge of all the earth? How shall I stand should he come in a moment of time and remove me from this time state? These are the exercises of those who are being wrought upon by the Holy Ghost. For it is the author of all those exercises that come upon the children of God. So then, if you are distressed, I am sure you at times wend your way to the mercy seat. For I would point such to the mercy seat. That is the place where thou wilt find help to be delivered from your condition. There you will find there is a refuge at the mercy seat. He is our refuge that dwells upon the mercy seat. And if you are in that condition, may you be enabled to wend your way thus to the refuge, even unto the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who sitteth upon the throne to hear the cries of his elect. A dear poet says he hates to put away. So that if you are unable to cry unto him, some might say, well, I find difficult to cry. Well, what are you expecting? There's not a lot of noise in true prayer. There's not a lot of noise with a person who's under this trial concerning their never dying any mortal soul. Indeed, they are often very silent, and those around them may not know that these things are going on in their souls or in their hearts. Indeed, I believe there is a tendency to shyness, if I may say that rightly, to speak of those things. Well, again here, such are proving that there is no other refuge. And if you are, then I was going to say, if you are expecting to have a flow of words, as it were, before him, That is not the case. It is that you might have in your heart a cry unto him, that feeble desire, and those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids thee still seek. The eternal God is thy refuge. Oh, may you never, my friend, seek any refuge anywhere else. You won't find any refuge in any other. I tried one occasion to find a little of this refuge, as it were, in a relative of mine when I began to speak a little of what I felt. God will shut up every refuge, my friend. That you will find that he is the one alone, because he's determined, if I may say that reverently, to have all the praise. That you may one day be able to say in your own heart, and then also open thy mouth before others and say, the Lord did it. He brought me forth. He delivered me from the bondage that I was in. He delivered me from the fear of eternal death. He delivered me from that condition that I felt as I stood before him. And therefore, you will know then for your own self that he is the refuge. Well, this refuge is made known in the gospel. The poet says a refuge for sinners, the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. So then, there is a refuge in the gospel. The gospel that Jesus Christ came here on earth to declare unto those around him. And you know there was those that received it, loved it and embraced it, and there were those that rejected it. Some might say, well, that sounds a little free will. It isn't, you know. It was ordained of God in heaven above in the eternal covenant that they should reject it, and that there should be those who should receive it. That's a dividing line, isn't it? So then, how God in his love and mercy made it known here on earth when the Lord and Savior came to be made the propitiation of our sins and to be delivered up a sacrifice for sin. There is the refuge, even at the cross of Christ, that you may see him in all that he did to put away sin. So that in the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is a full and free and unmerited redemption. There is a deliverance from the fear of eternal death. And more, there is a refuge, he is one that delivers from death. That when we come to our journey's end, he still will be our refuge, even at that time. Oh, to have then the eternal God as our refuge. You see, we read in the word, their rock is not like our rock. Our rock, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the refuge, is firm and sure. There is that which, whereon the child of God can stand and does stand, that there is nothing that can remove them from their refuge, well then, is their refuge too? For a refuge, you know, is a place from danger. Oh, aren't we surrounded with danger? I don't mean we are there, I know, in the world. We see how we are preserved from danger day by day. Some of us have been very close to it, no doubt, in life's journey. But you know, there's greater dangers than this. Oh yes, we're in danger, Al, from the great archenemy of souls. He's ever alert. Alert day by day to attempt to destroy, if it were possible, even the very elect. Oh, how I proved in the past week how he would endeavor to destroy and infuse all manner of things into the mind that we never did know anything aright as regards the things of God. And you've only began to preach in presumption. You're only one that is perhaps got some gift of speech, and you have started these things yourself. Oh, aren't we in danger? When he comes with these and infuses these things into the mind, and yet, you know, he cannot take from us, though oft he hath tried, this grace-given promise that the Lord will provide. He will provide a refuge, and he has, so that we may come to him as our refuge, when the enemy cometh in like a flood, that he may lift up a standard against him, that he may overthrow his power. I wanted to come into that a little later, but you know he's a powerful enemy of ours. Well, there will be dangers arise, and there will be too those thoughts arise in our hearts as to the truth, as in the Word of God. Before it arise, how do you know that Christ came on earth? What proof have you of it? It's only a record by men. Danger. Or are these things that arise in the heart of men, and in your heart and mind it may be, all by Satan to try, if it were possible, to deceive, if it were possible, even his people. So then we need this refuge, that he may be that unto us, wherein unto we may flee in the time of danger. Dangers of every shape and form come against us. There may be sometimes arise in our hearts with regard to the separating word of God. Does it seem just? Does it seem right? Thoughts will arise that some of mankind should be dealt with thus and some in another way. While all this carnal reasoning arises from our wicked hearts, arises from the power of Satan, and would indeed bring us into a place of confusion. And left in that condition, we should be lost. But here again is our refuge. You will find, if I know anything of this path, that at these times it will drive you. Oh, you've heard me say before, Satan misses his mark. He does indeed. He often drives a child of God to the throne of grace. That's a depth, isn't it? I say he often drives a child of God to the throne of grace. That God will have compassion upon him. That he would deliver him from all these awful thoughts and these things that come against him. They prove him to be a refuge. There were those in the world that found him to be a refuge. Dear Peter didn't realize, you know, the danger he was in when he three times denied his Lord and Master. But until the Holy Spirit caused him to go out and weep bitterly, he was in danger. But you see how he found, even there, in that condition, the Lord to be unto him his refuge. So that he found that even there, in that awful condition, right at the threshold of the judgment hall, where his dear Savior was before Pilate, and that he previously said that he would go even with him unto death. Oh, my friends, may we be kept from speaking things that we arise from our flesh, that we might never be able to accomplish, that we may make no vows before God rashly. See how Christ reminded him of it. He said, before the cock crow, he shall deny me thrice. How weak we are, aren't we? Surely we have to prove with no better heart. If I know anything, we have denied our dear Savior many times, but he's our refuge. The eternal God is thy refuge, so that those very things have been the means to cause us to run from danger, as it were, unto him in the time of trouble. Well, he's our refuge then in the time of trouble. How many times have you found him to be your refuge in the time of trouble? In the path of tribulation and sorrow. Well, you know, when we've been in trouble, various there have been, sometimes bodily, sometimes spiritually, sometimes it's been in the family, it may be. I'm speaking here collectively, not just myself, but I say collectively, we have been in these places, and various there have been, but he's been our refuge. And oh, what a safety there is when we are enabled to come to our refuge. We have proved that he has supplied all our needs according unto his riches in glory, that he hath proved to us that all things are in his sovereign hand, and all things both in heaven and in earth are at his disposal. They are indeed, that he gives us more than ever we have deserved of his love and mercy and grace, and given us this world's goods far more than ever we ever anticipated in days gone by. The eternal God is thy refuge. He's been our refuge in every deep distress. When I say we have been well nigh overcome, as we thought, I says we thought, We've never been well nigh overcome, you know, not weary. He's our refuge. But it's in our thoughts, our feelings, and so on, we feel to be well nigh overcome. And on the verge of despair, some might say, well, do we come there after our call by grace? I should have thought it would all be plain sailing, as it were. Well, my friends, when grace enters into the soul and one is delivered from the powers of darkness, that's when your troubles begin. Soul troubles, I mean. I say begin, you know what I mean there. I mean the battle, perhaps is a better word, the warfare then begins. So that you and I find that when we are in the warfare, we continually need this refuge. So that this child of God is enabled to flee in every time of need. As I said just now, we may not immediately go, but we are compelled to come unto him for deliverance. So then it does give us, I feel, at times to take a retrospective view of the past, how he hath delivered in that trouble and in another trouble, where he has brought us to be able to say, my Jesus hath done all things well. Every trial, every trouble, every difficulty hath been ordered by him, and there is a blessing in it. There is a blessing in it. Oh, every trial we have proved has been a blessing in it. Where we have feared that it would be our destruction. The pulpit is not a place to enumerate all these things, but some of us can testify, even here now before God and his people, that he's been our refuge. And if he's been our refuge personally, he can be yours. He's the same God and the eternal God. Eternal God is thy refuge, so that he who hath helped us can help you too, who may be in that condition of needing his help. And underneath are the everlasting arms. So he's not only a refuge for us, but these everlasting arms, the everlasting arms of the eternal God. They are such as they are underneath. Is there one here in a sinking condition? I've been there many times in a sinking condition. Say, are you in a sinking condition? Feeling that you shall sink where hope and mercy can never come. Well, that is a path that I believe God's people are brought into from time to time. I often feel in a sinking condition. I don't know the path where there's no doubts and fears. I don't know the path where there is no opposition. I say there's times we shall come into a sinking condition, like dear Peter, you know. Oh, how he thought he saw his dear Saviour walking upon the waves. He said, bid me come unto thee. The Lord permitted him to come, you know. But he became in a sinking condition. He hadn't gotten far, you know, before he looked at the waves, not his master. He could have done that. Looked at the trials, the troubles, the difficulties. and took your eye off of the refuge. Well, that is how it is sometimes, I believe. Well, while he took his eye off his Saviour, the refuge, and looked at the mighty waves, you see, he began to sink in a sinking condition. And then he cried out, "Lord, save, I perish." Oh, what a mercy it is to have a cry in a sinking condition, to cry out unto him that he will deliver. And you know how Christ put forth his hand and delivered him underneath our everlasting arms. How God's people have proved it through all ages. How dear Job proved it and knew it to the full toward the end of his life, and underneath had been the everlasting arms and were also under him still, when he said, "I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I have bore myself with dust and ashes." Oh, what a mercy it is to have him to be with us and to prove that underneath are the everlasting arms. Well, my friends, with these knowledge given unto you, you will prove in all your troubles and trials and difficulties that he is with you in them. I know we cannot always feel it when we're in them. I don't. But we shall prove and see that he hath been our refuge, and that underneath hath been the everlasting arms. And may the Lord add his blessing. Amen.